loving God and the beloved being you and me. For the most part, God is portrayed in Scripture as a spurned lover who never gives up on the beloved. Yet this is not a Romeo and Juliet tragedy, a tale of fated characters whose star-crossed lives end in death. Rather, this lover created us in love In response to the people's demand, God simply could have said, no, I'm God, you're my people, that's the deal, end of discussion. But instead, God hears their request, respects their choice to reject the relationship, and says to Samuel, listen to their voice, warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. In a stunning speech that should be repeated again and again, Samuel tells the people that a king will take your sons to be soldiers and slaves, your daughters to be concubines and cooks. Your fields and your vineyards will be appropriated, your grain and livestock taxed to the max. The people refuse to listen. A king, they say, will not only govern them, but will assure them victory in battle. Well, Samuel reported the words of the people in the ears of the Lord, and God said, listen to their voice and set a king over them. They have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being a king over them. It seems to me, given the sort of love that this God is, God could respond in no other way. No miraculous displays, no cosmic disruptions, no abandonment of the beloved in favor of another people or a different world. The sort of love that this God is a love that is dependent on the freedom of the beloved to love in return, or not. Coercion, compulsion, force, control, none of them avail. The love God is a love more vulnerable than we can ever fathom. It is a love that risks rejection. Saul, therefore, becomes king over Israel. And after Saul, David. And with David, God comes to God's own fork in the road. Remember last Sunday when God talked to Moses in the tent of meeting as one talks to a friend? Whether as a friend or a lover, from the beginning, God's relationship to the people and to those called by God to lead the people has been a relationship of choice on God's part. With David, everything changes. In the face of David's faults and failures mixed in with David's loyalty and love, God says to David, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. When he does wrong, I will chastise him, but I will never withdraw my favor, my love, from him. God's love is now the love of a parent for a child. God risks God's future completely, unconditionally, when God acknowledges that God's love for David and David's offspring is the love of a father. Parental love, Miles writes, is not a conditional state, have stood by your helpless sides while you watch your own children become who they are in freedom. I would be remiss if I did not credit Matt DeVenta's sermon last Sunday for filling in the blanks of a father's love in a way that I cannot. Reading the story of the Transfiguration as a story of a father's helpless love for his son on the way to death, Matt reflects on his own vulnerability as the father of a young son. Being sick is just the first of how many experiences of the world that my son is going to have, Matt says, that are completely out of my hands. Because he will go to his own school, and he will make his own friends, and he will find his own way. And some days in school will be hard, and some days his friends will let him down. And some days somebody will break his heart, and someday he will grieve for somebody he loves. And I can't fix it. I can't help it. I can't go there with him. Matt goes on to say that God goes there with him. Yet Matt knows this not because of some miraculous display or cosmic disruption. He knows it as he has known the vulnerable love of God for him in the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, God's only Son, God's beloved. Yet if I am reading the story, the second story before us, at the beginning of Luke, honestly, I would have to say that Jesus also was loved with the love that risks rejection, the love that gives him the freedom not to love us as God loves us, that gave him a choice. Would he be the ruler, the king, the gimme savior that we want, or the vulnerable lover whose love risks our rejection? The antagonist in the story, the devil, a stand-in really for our endless testing of God, our goading God to be the kind of God who meets all of our needs, who secures our lives with power, who proves that God really exists with miraculous saves. The devil converses with Jesus just after Jesus alone has heard God's voice at his baptism saying, "You are my son, the beloved." Still dripping with water, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he eats nothing. He is famished, which is to say he is vulnerable, needy, human. If you are God's son, the devil